Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And today you can tap into the source in which to live a wonderful new lifestyle of wealth and abundance that affects all areas of your life. Join Dr. Anne as she enriches us with her holistic wisdom on the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program. And here's Dr. Anne.
Hello, my be joyful ones. How are you this beautiful day? Oh, I am just so wonderfully blessed to be here with you. Oh, can you believe that it is the time of year? It is April already. I just want to say thank you, God, for a wonderful easing into this beautiful weather and just this wonderful, just the wonderful weather that we're having in most of the country. And of course, we send our prayers to those people who were hit by the tornadoes in the southern part of our country. Of course, we just send out all kinds of blessings and know that God is there, and we just know that things will come together in its perfect and right way. And if you didn't know it, you are listening to the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program here on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I know that you are doing just perfectly and that you are in the perfect place at the perfect time, wherever you are on this wonderful planet called Earth. And you know that this is Dr. Anne, your Joy of Wealthy Living coach. The Joy of Wealthy Living is your radio program that looks at what it means to live wealthy from a holistic approach. And holistic approach includes using the law of attraction and the law of emergence in all areas of one's life, which includes your career, relationships in your life, recreation, and having fun doing the cha-cha-cha, woohoo, and health and wellness, abundance, prosperity, finances, and most of more importantly, being connected to your higher power, or in for some people, your spirituality. I have a quote by this man who lived back in the 1700s, and he is regarded as the father of modern chemistry. His name is, or was, Antoine Lavoisier. A wealthy landowner cannot cultivate and improve his farm without spreading comfort and well-being around him. Rich and abundant crops, a numerous population, and a prosperous countryside are the rewards for his efforts. Ponder on these words. You are wealthy just where you are right now. Ask yourself, how are you spreading comfort and well-being to those people that are in your life, even if they are there for a minute, a season, or a lifetime? Everybody, just take in a deep breath and release it, and get settled into this beautiful and joyful space wherever you may be. Just take in and release and just be centered in the presence of this holy place wherever you are sitting and listening right here. God is the one presence and power that creates all there is, was, and ever shall be. Its existence is in everything, and that includes me and you. I, Dr. Ann, speak my word for you and myself, knowing that in the center of all things, good abides. Without any doubt in my mind, I know that the presence of good is in all things, great and small. I know and I affirm that abundance, joy, love, wisdom, peace, and harmony expresses as me and through me when I consciously turn within and ask the Spirit within to bring forth these things. I know and I accept that these things are already there because they are part of me, and that these are the faces of the Divine One. These are the wellsprings that rise up within each and every one of us, and it flows from us, and it flows through us, from us and around us, flowing to and joining the multitudes that are one with me and you and Spirit, which is always there. I know that at this given time, my requests of abundance, joy, love, wisdom, peace and harmony is being fulfilled. I feel it. I know it. I give thanks to God taking care of this request right here and right now. I release it. I let it go. And so it is. Ah. And everyone, just take a deep breath on that and just let it go and release it into the universe, knowing that these words are being fulfilled. As we release it and let it go, we shake it from our hands and give it off into the universe, who is taking care of it right now, right now, right here, right now. It's good. It's all good. I always like to bring something a little humorous to the table now, and I saw this little joke. It's a little long, but it's funny, so just bear with me on this. There was a woman who was pregnant, and she had a set of twins. And right before she was to deliver her twins, she was in a car accident and she went into a coma. Well, her husband was away on business and he could not be contacted while she was laying there in the hospital and going through labor and all of that kind of stuff. So she gave birth to her twins there at the hospital, and the only person that the doctors could reach was her brother. And her brother was given the task of naming the children. So when the mother came out of the coma and she found out that she had given birth and that her brother had named the twins, she became a little worried because she knew her brother. Okay, you know, we all know our siblings, you know, we know who they are, what they can do, and what they cannot do. So she was a little worried because she knew her brother. And her brother had a little bit of a different mindset than she and her husband. And she knew that he had named her twins some weird name, some absurd name, some name that would make people stop and say, why would you name that child that? You know, that kind of kind of brother. So when she saw her brother, you know, afterwards, and then she's still in the hospital, she asked him about the twins. And he told her that, oh, yes, the first one was a girl. And she says, oh, that's so wonderful. And what is her name? And her brother said, Denise. And she said, oh, wow, that's not bad. And what about the second one? And her brother said, the second one is a boy. And she says, oh, my, I got a boy and a girl. So what did you name the boy? And her brother said, the nephew. Okay, got it? Denise and the nephew. Shabam, boom. All right, moving right along. Okay, if you didn't laugh, I did. I got it. Okay, just a reminder of a couple of events coming up next week. Next Thursday, as a matter of fact, on April the 12th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, there is a seminar that I'm giving. It's called A to the 7th Power of Wealthy Living. And if you want more information, go to my website, myjoyenterprise.com, for more information. It is free, and it is how to use these 7 powers on a consistent basis to manifest more joy and abundance into your life. The other thing that I am very excited about is that I got my books. My books, yes, Mastering the Art of Success has arrived. Yes, it's a beautiful book. I'm on the cover with these 3 wonderful gentlemen. I'm the only female on my books. There is Les Brown, there is Mark Victor Hansen, and there is Jack Canfield. What more can you say? Okay, so this is a collaborative effort with 11 other authors, and if you buy your books from me, there is a free bonus. There are free bonus gifts that you will get with your book. 3 things. You'll get a 1-hour introductory coaching session with Dr. Ann. You will get a free Buff It Up program assessment, where Buff equals perfection plus personal style, which equals to wealthy living in my eyesight. And you will get a free ebook called A Guide to How to Set Up Your Own Online Business. All of this for the amazing price of $25, which includes shipping. Again, more information at myjoyenterprise.com, or you can email me at DrAnn at myjoyenterprise.com. We're going to break for station identification, and then we will have our magnificent guest, Dr. Sandy, in 30 seconds.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Well, today's guest is Reverend Sandra Ann Daly. I love her name already. You know why? Because she has Ann. Anybody who has an Ann in their name is all right with me. Okay. And you can see she's giggling already. Okay. So let me just read part of her bio, if not all of it. She is a woman. After 30 years of abuse, gave herself a gift. That gift was a thought. And that thought was this: there's got to be a better way for me to live. And her willingness to believe this thought, when it popped into her mind, she found the key that would unlock the door that stood between the woman she had always believed she was and what was really possible for her. The opening of that door in 1999 led her to learn some spiritual principles that she was able to apply to in her life. As a result of that, rather than calling herself a survivor of domestic violence, Sandra, or Sandy, as we call her lovingly, is now able to identify herself as a liver, or is that supposed to be lover of life? And I'll ask her about that in a few minutes. And a powerful example that patterns can be broken and that life is meant to be good. Through her writing, teaching, and coaching, Sandra now teaches others how to use the principles that she learned all those years ago and effectively used to change her life for the better. Sandra is now a minister, author, poet, speaker, workshop creator, and presenter. Leap of faith coach, wife to a wonderful husband, mother of two beautiful children, and to look at her, you wouldn't believe this. She is a grandmother of amazing young Mikey. She feels that it is her purpose in life to support those who have given themselves the gift of that thought. There's got to be a better way, and to see the potential in them when they may be having difficulty seeing it in themselves. Hey, Sandra, Reverend Sandy, how you doing?
I am fantastic.
I'm glad. So wait a minute. Let me clear this up for the audience. First of all, is it a liver of life, or is it a lover of life?
Well, it's actually both, but because of the way, because here's why I say it that way, because before I had that thought, I was not living my life. I was surviving, and that's it. I was surviving each day. You know, and whenever it came to be bedtime, it was like, oh, look at that. I'm still alive, I guess. I wasn't really living my life. So
yeah.
Now I am actually living my life and loving my life and really believing that life is meant, you know, life is supposed to be good. It's supposed to be fun. It's meant to be actually lived, you know. So, yes, it's liver of life. But I also happen to love my life, too. So we could say it either way.
Either way. And just to show you where my mind went on this, okay, so when I read liver of life, I wasn't even thinking about a person being a live person, you know, living life. I went straight to
the organ. You were thinking about liver.
I was thinking about liver, that liver organ within your body. And I said, now, what is she talking about here? Liver of life. But now I am so glad that I asked the question, is it liver or lover? And then as I was saying that, well, maybe it was a typo. But no, it wasn't. Everybody?
No, it wasn't.
It was not. She is actually a liver of life.
Oh, that's too funny.
Okay. So now, people, yeah, think about it. Think about it. Each and every one of us is a liver of life. Correct?
Correct.
I believe so.
Correct.
I believe so. Yes. So we start out with a laugh, and that's wonderful. It's just wonderful to smile and to giggle and just to have fun. You know, we take things seriously, but we take it seriously in a humorous sort of way.
Yes.
So
yeah, you were talking about my name, and we have a running joke, my husband and I, that my last name, my maiden name, did not start with a D. And my relationship with my husband is, it's incredibly healthy and happy and joyful. And when we got married, I actually did not care too much for my maiden name, and I couldn't wait to get married so that my initials would change.
Okay.
So I could say, I got married, now I'm sad. Because that's so not a description of me. The people that I was working with at the time hated that, because I had to put my initials on my work. So they would, because sad is not anywhere near the reality of who I am. It's, you know, it was just, it's just fun to play with. Yeah, I got married, now I'm sad. But I'm happy to be married to the most joyful man on the planet. So there's no way that I would actually really be sad.
Well, it's a good thing that your first name isn't Mary or Margaret Ann Daly. So then you would be mad. Or Barbara Ann Daly. Bad. Okay, that's enough of that right now.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. So I read a lot about what you are experiencing in your life as a minister, an author, a poet, a speaker. You know, that gives me back to that Frank Sinatra song. I've been a poet, a da 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 da, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and you know what I mean. So, as an author, you have written a few books. Is this correct?
Yes. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
I know
you.
What it feels like. I know what it feels like to get your books.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
And your first two books were Choose Your Universe and Pop Your Paradigm. So Pop Your Paradigm, what does that mean? Pop Your Paradigm.
Pop Your Paradigm. Well, For those people who don't know what a paradigm is, there are a whole bunch of different ways to say it. It's subconscious programming, limiting beliefs,
mm-hmm.
comfort zone. You know, it's really the boundary of your comfort zone is your paradigm or your subconscious programming. You know, there's a lots of different ways to say it, but I liked the name Pop Your Paradigm mainly because when I was writing the book, it's about a huge paradigm shift going from living that life in which I believed that I deserved to be abused and that I would never be happy and that nobody would ever love me and I would never be successful. I had a whole personal belief system that said those kinds of things, and that was how I lived my life, as if those things were true, until that day in September 19th. No. It was mid-August when I had that thought that there's got to be a better way for me to live than this. There's got to be a better way for me to live than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in that thought for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And then on September 19th of that year of 1999, it was a Sunday, it was 3:30 in the afternoon, I turned on my television, and my life, the way I lived my life, began to change right there.
Yeah.
And then I spent the following 9 months, I stayed in that relationship. I was in Portland, Oregon, and it was a very abusive it was a painful relationship to be in, but I spent that 9 months changing my beliefs about myself and about how I deserve to be treated and you know, that all that stuff. And finally, I knew by the end of June of 2000 that if I stayed in that relationship, I was going to die in that relationship, and it was going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yes.
And so I climbed on a Greyhound bus, and I ran from Portland, Oregon to Phoenix, Arizona on the bus, and I had a backpack and a duffel bag and $80 in my pocket. I
mm-hmm.
didn't know a soul in Arizona. I was homeless here for a while. You know, the Greyhound station was my home for a little while. However,
Really?
That whole experience, I had some tools that I was applying to the way I lived my life and the way I experienced my life, and I shifted my subconscious programming in a very big way. And that's what the book is about. But I had never heard the word paradigm. But while I was writing the manuscript, it would show up every once in a while, paradigm, and I just thought it was a New Age buzzword. You know, it's a buzzword. That doesn't apply to me. I don't need to know what it means. It's just something that those New Age people are saying.
Yeah.
And then it was funny. I went to L.A. for a seminar with Mary Manon Morrissey and Bob Proctor. And actually, it was when I turned on my television that day in September of 1999, it was Mary Manon Morrissey that I found on TV. I found her on Oregon Public Broadcasting, and I was able to hear what she had to say. And, you know, I remember thinking during that program, you mean I get to choose what I think about things?
Yes.
I get to choose what I think about things. I don't have to keep thinking the same things that I've always thought.
Yes.
That was transformational for me to have that. Yes. I'll never forget having that thought show up in my mind. You mean I get to choose what I think about things? And so I bought her book, Building Your Field of Dreams, and I applied it. I lived in that book for about 18 months. And so when I came to Phoenix, I was applying all of that stuff, all of her teachings, Mary's teachings.
Yes.
So then fast forward to 2008 when I'm writing the manuscript that became Pop Your Paradigm, I had an opportunity to go to L.A. for a seminar with Mary, and I hadn't seen her since 2000. So I jumped on this opportunity to go, and Bob Proctor was there as well. It was a thing they were doing together, and the whole weekend was about paradigm and what paradigm is, and how to neutralize it, and how powerful it really is, and because it really is.
Usual, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that was amazing. And it was funny. I found her on TV on September 19th of 1999.
Mm-hmm.
9 years later, on September 13th, there I was with her.
Okay.
It was cool.
And let me just break in right now just to say to my listening audience, if there is anyone who would like to ask Reverend Sandy any questions, our telephone number here in the studio is 646-716-6230. 646-716-6230. And I think I have, I have someone right here who has a question to ask you already. How's that? Hello, caller. How are you today? Hello? Hello? My caller at 466. Are you still there?
Yes. They don't have a question yet, though. I'm sorry. I don't know how we got connected that way.
Oh, okay. I just thought you had a question, but I'm just going to...
Waiting, but I haven't formulated it yet. This is just interesting. Please continue.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have you there, so I'll just leave you be until later. How's that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I have another person here. Let's see if he has a question. He's got his hand up, so we'll see. Hello, hi, how are you?
Is that me?
That'd be you, yes.
Okay, I'm a truck driver out in Billa, Kansas right now. And I noticed that there's a similarity about how you said, is it okay for me to think my own thoughts after a traumatic, lifetime, more or less? Turned a corner out of a traumatic experience of life itself, at having been basically on my knees to all kinds of different situations and problems, including a marriage, kids, and my own attitudes and ideas about how I should feel, indoctrinated by teachers and stuff and other paradigms. And the way you, because I was really wrestling with the word paradigm until you explained it to me. That is a beautiful explanation of the word paradigm. I have just broken out of the paradigm of my own mind as a new baby chick would break out of a shell. And that's interesting that it's almost shell-breaking time and spring bunnies and all that. But that you were basically an abused wife, I look at the future now that, oh my gosh, you mean I can have my own thoughts? I can really think about having a horse or a boat that I've always wanted but never been allowed to dare dream of, because you can't afford that, you can't have that, you have to go back to work, and or whatever. So it is a fascinating, and I agree with the other caller. Please continue.
Okay, well, I'm going to just put you back over here, and we will come back to you, too, a little later. Well, Reverend Sandy, how you like that?
That was nice. Thank you. And I love the shell description, because a shell, a chick in a shell, that is their comfort zone.
Yes.
And that's a great analogy for breaking out of your paradigms.
Absolutely.
The name you asked about the name of the book.
Yes.
If you look at it, you can find it on my website. I have two books out. The first one is called Choose Your Universe, and that's actually my website as well, www.chooseyouruniverse.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my books can be found there. If you want to see the cover of the book, it's a cartoon with a stick person with a giant inflatable thumb above this stick person.
Okay.
And it's you know, it's a progressive cartoon, and what it shows is, at first they're sitting there comfortable with this giant thumb above his head, and the next one you see that he gets a new idea, and the giant thumb says, we can't have that. We cannot have that. Well, and the thing about a paradigm or subconscious program, limiting belief, call it whatever you want. When you get a new idea, something that's outside that comfort zone, it will let you daydream all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You can daydream and you can plan all day long about what you're going to do to implement this new idea. But the second you start taking steps, you get flattened by your paradigm. And that's what the cover of the book shows. It shows this giant thumb flattening this little stick person with the word wham, WHAM, exclamation point.
Yes.
Because it's like the thumb of a tyrant, and the tyrant doesn't want you to change. Change the way you think about things means it has to change. And
absolutely.
It doesn't want to do that.
No.
And so the thing about this giant thumb is, it's like an inflatable thumb. And the more you push against it, the more it pushes back. But
yeah.
You can pop it. And yeah. I talk in there about what's known as the sword of truth. So you pull out your sword of truth, which is any thought, you know, like one that I used for a long time that I still use is a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. He said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And that thought would cut through my fear, because paradigm shows up, you know, really consistently as fear. No, I'm afraid. I'm not going to do that because it scares me too much. So, but if I just take the step in faith, I know I can take one step in faith. I don't have to know how it's going to happen. I don't have to know, you know, like my friend, you know her too, Reverend Michelle Whittington.
Yes.
She says it's my job to know what I want. It's God's job to know the how. It's my job to know the what. It's God's job to know the how. I don't have to see the whole staircase. In fact, when I was climbing up the steps of the bus in Portland to come to Phoenix in the summertime, I was terrified, but I was reciting that quote under my breath out loud as I was walking up the steps. You don't have to know what's going to happen. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take this step in faith. Just take this step in faith. Have faith, because things can work out. Things can work out. You don't have to know how, but you can know that they can. And so that essentially popped that paradigm over and over and over again. Every 5 seconds is sometimes how it has to be done, but it can be done. And it's an amazing experience to do that for yourself and to know that, you know, you have to do it over and over again, because paradigms don't give up all that easy, because they're ingrained. They're entrenched in your subconscious.
They're rooted. They're rooted in your thinking pattern. They have giant roots that have taken over, and they won't let go. And it's almost like a daily process in which you are, you know, sprinkling something positive, this thoughts, doing your affirmations, doing your meditations, doing your treatments, doing whatever it takes to eliminate those old, worn-out paradigms that you...
And it's more than a daily process, especially, you know, you said in the introduction that I'm a leap of faith coach. Well, I happen to have plenty of experience with leap of faith. And when you make a decision to actually change your life, it's more than a daily process. It is a secondly process. You know, so you might have to really take control of your mind. You know, manage your mind is really what it's about. You know, every 5 seconds for a minute and a half before you can get that, you know, that feeling of being flattened to dissipate some. Sometimes you have, and sometimes you have to do it, you know, once every 30 minutes, you know, from the time you really make the decision, I'm going to change my life. That's when the paradigm gets triggered. And that's when you feel like you get flattened by it. And that's when you have to, it takes diligence and it takes rigor and you know, it takes real determination and the willingness to do the work of managing your mind over and over and over and over and over again. And at first, you have to do it quite often. And then when it starts to become a habit, then you don't have to do it so often, and it's easier to catch yourself when you're back in the old stuff.
Yes. Yes.
So, I hope that made sense.
It does make sense. And when I asked you to be a guest on this program for today, not knowing but synchronicity put you here, because do you realize that this month happens to be Domestic Violence Month? Did you know that?
Yeah, actually.
And then part of what you're talking about, you know, your story that involved the abuse that you got out of, and the story about pop your paradigm is an excellent story of not being the victim, and you call it something else. You said you will not be called a victim. You are called, I don't know if you're calling yourself a victor, but of course you are the liver of life.
Yes, that's what I'm calling myself. I could call myself, you know, triumphant or the victor or, you know, whatever. But I like it, and part of that has to do with my sense of humor and the joyful life that I live now. It's funny. that word liver is funny to me because it does have more than one meaning, and people do misunderstand it. So it's funny. I get to laugh on a regular basis because I am a liver of life. I live my life now. I'm not just existing like I was back then. I'm not just surviving the same day over and over and over again. I'm living and growing, and I'm living at the edge of my own becoming.
Yeah.
You know, I'm becoming the more expanded expression of life that I am every day. I'm a bigger version, bigger, better version of who I was before. So,
and because of the message that you wrote in Pop Your Paradigm, the story doesn't just stop there. It continues on to today. And I think you're writing another book or have written another book that is the next chapter of your life after you...
It is, because I did not realize that because I ended Pop Your Paradigm on a very positive note. You know, I was in a whole new life when I ended Pop Your Paradigm. I ended Pop Your Paradigm 8 days after I climbed on the bus. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a full 8 days. My goodness. But I was still in the middle of my leap when I ended the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who I get people contact me regularly who've read Pop Your Paradigm, and they say, oh my God, I need to know what happened next. Obviously you lived, because I was still homeless and stuff like that at the end of Pop Your Paradigm. So I've gotten request after request after request to please finish the story. Please, we would really like to know what happened next. So, or how you were able to really land on your feet. And so I'm now working on book number 3,
mm-hmm.
It's called Successfully Midair, How to Navigate mm-hmm. Your Leap of Faith and Land in the Life You Want. And it is it's the tools that I have 10 specific tools that I use to move myself forward as I aim for the destination where I want to land, because I love the feeling of being midair. I love
mm-hmm.
the grand adventure of making that leap of faith and being out there in midair, you know, just reaching out so life can catch me.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be scary. It can be really scary because there's a gap between where I am and where I want to be. And navigating that gap is what Successfully Midair is about. It's about, you know, I think an airplane is off course something like 95% of the time. And the pilot's job really is not to, the pilot's job really is to recognize when the plane is off course and bring it back in line with the destination. And that's what these tools are meant for. They're meant to help you stay on course as you make that leap. Like the gentleman that was on the line earlier was talking about wanting to get a boat, and it sounds like that's going to be a pretty big leap for him, because he has this belief that I can't afford it. I'm not supposed to do that because I have other responsibilities or, you know, whatever. So when it does come time for him to get the boat that he wants, not the boat that he would settle for just to have a boat, it's going to take that discipline, you know, it's going to take doing the work of managing his mind so that he stays in alignment with the destination that he's aiming for, which is the boat of his dreams. And that is going to take work, but unless he's wealthy, you know, unless he has the $150,000 or whatever that he would like to spend on the boat of his dream. I don't know how much boats cost, but you know, then it's just going to be a matter of just making a decision.
Right.
But I got the impression that it's going to take some work for that. that dream to come true for him. And that's what successfully midair is. It's tools that can be used. For example, one of my favorites is dealing with monsters.
Well,
you know,
can
we
you
have,
explain that?
We have monsters that show up when we're... So I've made my leap of faith, and I know what I want. I know what my destination is. One of the monsters that shows up is what I call the butt monster.
And the what kind of monster? Excuse me?
The butt monster, B-U-T. Like, I want what I want, but...
The butt.
I can't have it because of this. I want what I want, but... What?
But. Mm-hmm.
So I like acronyms, and my acronym for the word but is bloated, undermining thoughts.
Mm.
And that's all a but thought is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bloated, it's a thought that's meant to undermine my confidence in my dream and my feeling of deservingness around my dream. I want what I want, but I'm not a good enough person. I want what I want, but I'm too tall. I want what I want, but my teeth are crooked. You know, it's just bloated, undermining thoughts. So what do you do with that? What do you do with a but thought? How do you neutralize but? You do it with the word and. And my acronym for the word and is a new determination. I can make a new determination anytime I choose to. Anytime I choose to. When I find the butt monster blocking my way, I always know I can neutralize it with and.
Absolutely.
And I can make a new determination anytime I choose. We also have the what if monster. What if something bad happens? What if I fail?
Yes.
What if people don't approve? What if I lose my job? What if what if my wife gets mad at me? What if? So how do you neutralize the what if monster?
I don't know how.
You say, what if something wonderful happens? Oh my God, what if something awesome happens?
Yes.
So what if something even better than what I'm dreaming of happens?
Yes.
But how can that happen if I allow the what if monster to stop me? If I allow what if something bad happens to stop me, I don't even give what if something awesome happens a chance.
I know.
So these
are monsters that we make up in our own minds. And we put them in our closets, bring them out whenever we feel bad, want to go to that pity party. Those are the people, those are the monsters that we invite to our pity parties. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I do. And but it's not something that we put there consciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's all programming. It's all paradigm.
Yes.
And when we can see, the thing about this is when we can recognize, oh, God, it's just my programming. That takes a whole lot of the charge out of it, just in recognizing, oh, look, I have a program that's triggered right now. Oh, what's the most fun tool I can pull out of my tool bag to neutralize this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can use the open moment. I can use I'm dealing with a monster right here. Which monster is it? And which, you know, what do I want to do? I can tell a different story. What's the story that I'm telling that's making me feel this way? And what's a different way I can tell the story that will make me feel better?
Well, Reverend Sandy, as I listen to you talk about your monsters, I listen to you when you are defining your paradigms and things like that. My mind goes back to wealthy living. For some of our listeners, they conjure up these monsters and they put them in their path, and they are roadblocks to a wealthier life or a life that they dream of living, but they bring out butt monsters. Or the what if monster, what if I live a wealthier life? They won't like me anymore because I'm having fun. or something
right.
like that. Well, you know what? They just have to get off their butts and do something about it.
Yeah, and really that's all it is. One of the probably the most important tool that I talk about, I don't really want to say that because they're all important, but the name of the chapter so far, I mean, I'm still writing the book and this might change, but
mm-hmm.
it's tool number 10 of 10, the most important question you could ever ask, the most important question you could ever ask yourself is, how much do I want what I say I want? Do I want it enough to do the work of managing my mind?
That is it. If it's not worth it to you, then why should I expend all of the energy behind it? If it's, you know, if you don't want to do the work, then don't do it.
Then just sit there. Keep daydreaming and keep living in wishful thinking and then you're going to end up living the same day over and over again and nothing's going to change. And you will have your wishful thinking. But you won't see any results because you're not doing the work. And when I say the work, I don't mean getting out there and taking the action. I mean managing what you're allowing your mind to do.
It all begins where? It all begins with a thought. And there, I know you know the song, and our friend Ramon sings it, you know, it all begins with a thought. Everything that we do, everything that we say, it all begins with an idea, a thought. And this is exactly what you're saying, that when you woke up, when you actually woke up that day, you had a change in the way that you thought, and that thought changed the rest of your life.
Yep.
It hasn't been the same since then. So let's see if our caller 466 is ready with a question. 466, are you there?
Oh yes, and I'm ready.
Oh, you, oh my gosh!
Oh yes, I am.
Yay!
because you've been covering one side of this beautifully, but I've noticed very rarely does an abuser. Because I was in counseling for many years and now I've retired into artwork. So I observed a lot of crowds and groups of people to see how abusers found their victim. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what behaviors do you think you exhibited that told that man who was to become your abusive husband, it's okay to move on this woman, to go after her? I'm going to be able to traumatize her and terrorize her. Have you ever looked at that, how you drew him in the first place?
Well, I learned as a child that I was supposed to be abused.
Right. See, this is what I
learned. And so I was trained as a child to believe that I was meant to be abused and, you know, all the things I said earlier. And I treated myself that way. As I got into being a teenager, I treated myself that way because that's what I believed was the truth about me.
And
I just desperately wanted to be loved. I desperately wanted to be loved, but I had this huge belief that nobody would ever love me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get involved with boys who were not nice, because that's what my programming needed. My programming needed me to be with somebody who treated me that way. And whenever I would, because every once in a while I would get involved with somebody who was nice, and I didn't, it was so far outside my comfort zone, I didn't know what to do except sabotage the relationship. And so because I could not accept that this person was actually really believed that I deserved to be treated nicely. I couldn't accept it. So that was how I lived my life. I was, you know, I was in and out of abusive relationships through actually my second husband, I've been married, I'm on my fourth marriage.
Okay.
And my second husband, he was not abusive, but there were other issues in that relationship. He, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's my friend, and I adore
mm-hmm.
him, but there were other issues in that relationship that it was unhealthy. It was still an unhealthy relationship, even though he wasn't abusive to me. So I still had that unhealthiness that my programming needed. And, you know, relationship after relationship that was ugly was, I don't know, let's see, you asked a specific question. My behavior was needy. It was, you know, I desperately wanted somebody to love me, and these guys, you know, needed me to need that so much that I would put up with them treating me that way. And it was a whole, you know, drama dynamic that both parts of the relationship needed for that relationship to be that relationship.
Okay.
So his programming needed me to react and behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And my programming needed him to, and it sounds really ugly to say it that way, I did not consciously want to be abused. And nobody
mm-hmm.
does. Nobody consciously wants to be abused. Nobody deliberately asks to be abused. But they do have programming.
Could I ask a question here? Did you have some beliefs from society or wherever that also you had to fix people? If they were unhappy, you had to make it better? Was that part of the pattern?
Of course.
Like, this
yeah.
broken guy, he's just mean because he doesn't have love and I can fix
uh-huh.
him? Okay.
He'll change because he loves me. He loves me.
Yeah,
so
love will heal it all, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And the other thing, if teenage to 30-year-olds, let's just give it that age range, are listening
okay.
to this program right now, and they realize I'm trained to be abused. Oh my gosh! But I don't really want that in my life. What could you say to them to help them right now today? if they're going out this evening with friends, change some part of their behavior so they don't attract immediately the abuser. They may not be strong enough to attract the loving person yet. What would you say might help if they were just a little bit different each day? What should they change first? Or is that beyond our comprehension, right?
Well, I
because
think
it, yeah.
I think that listening to a program like this is this will plant a seed. Because somebody
yeah.
who listens to this, who's in that kind of a circumstance, they wouldn't be drawn. Law of attraction is a real thing. They
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be drawn
mm-hmm.
to this program if they weren't meant to hear it.
Yes.
So the seed has been planted. And
yes.
So
but
when
they're
they
going
do
out on
go
a date
uh-huh.
Friday night. What? Because that's they're going out with the crowd to meet their future love. Someone will finally love them. What subtle? Stand up straight. Look them in the eye when they. Don't
and
be too
lady,
well,
I am
first
sorry.
Step for them. Oh, dear.
I am sorry. I'm going to have to cut in. We're going to have to bring Reverend Sandy back here another time to answer that question. And I just want to say thank you, Reverend Sandy, for your pearls of wisdom on how to pop our paradigm so that we can leap forward in faith and move forward. Upward and beyond. And how can the listeners get in touch with you?
My website is www.chooseyouruniverse, like make a choice, chooseyouruniverse.com, or you can email me at chooseyouruniverse@gmail.com or text me at 602-999-1250.
I really enjoyed you being our guest today, and I know that our guests that were on hold and asking questions, and I'm sorry if we didn't get to every one of you, but guess what? She's coming back. I love you all, and turn back in next week to the joy of wealthy living. I love you all, my be joyful ones. Yes.
Thank you, Anne.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're almost ready to say bye. This is wonderful. I know you got a lot of information, and make sure you go to her website and get her book. See ya.
Thank you for tuning into the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann Williamson. If you'd like to contact Dr. Ann, go to her website, www.myjoyenterprise.com, or email her at drann@myjoyenterprise.com. We'll see you back here next week.